Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. It's a Wednesday here on WEEI, and that means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp. Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. What's up, Turp?
Pure Tank. Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
I'm only kidding.
I know. You're not there yet, although it does not look great.
It doesn't.
It's been a rough go. I mean, it's one thing you mentioned, like, early in the season, you get the Knicks or you're home against the Rockets. Like, okay. But that Jazz game and the way they lost it, getting smoked on the boards, they can't throw in the three at all, and the Jazz aren't good. And so that was frustrating.
Yeah, my biggest issue with the Jazz game is you even have Joe Mazzulla calling them out for their effort after the game. Like, that's unacceptable for this team. And you'd think that wouldn't be a problem with this team it's full of guys that are trying to prove themselves. In some cases, these guys are playing for what's next. You would think the one thing that you can expect night in and night out, and I get it's an 82-game season, and you know you're not going to have your all every night, but for this team, the one thing you would expect to be a consistent thing is their effort. Mm-hmm. And for Joe Mazzulla, who really steers away from calling out his players in any form publicly to the media, for him to go out and say that they got outplayed, I thought that was very telling. So you just can't have that. Like, obviously, there's deficiencies on this roster. That it has major flaws. The one thing you can control is your effort. And for them to not do that and drop a home game when they were 10-point favorites to the Utah Jazz, who are on the second night of a back-to-back, that's just not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think he's calling out?
I think it was, honestly, the only one I thought that played with effort was Jaylen Brown from start to finish. And it goes beyond his scoring. Like, he did everything he possibly could have to give them a chance to win. Even late in the game, he dove for a loose ball and saved the possession there. Like, he was laying out. He gave it all he had. The rest of them, it just wasn't consistent. And that's been a problem for him. Like, we talked about it last week, too, where they had the 40-point quarter against the Sixers, the 40-point quarter against the Knicks. I mean, the biggest thing with defense, and obviously, like, the personnel is going to play into this. Like, they're not the greatest defensive team with their personnel. But you control that with your effort. And at times, we've seen that wane, and it just can't happen.
Okay. So you think Jaylen's giving good effort, so everybody else is on the table. Who's the biggest offender in terms of lack of effort, at least in the game the other night?
I mean, it's hard not to look at Kata for that box out at the end of the game. I mean, you can't have that. Like, that's your biggest player on the floor. That's your center. You can't get out rebounded in that scenario there. And I thought in the first quarter he was great, but after that kind of slowed down a little bit. He's had his moments, and you know, I've been overall pretty impressed with him. I think he's answered the call with what he's been asked to do as the starting center, but in that situation, you cannot be out-rebounded. You have to come down with that board. And Joe kind of brought that up, too. Like, there's some that we just need to rebound. Obviously, rebounding is going to be an issue for this team. We've been talking about that since the first time we started having these hits again. Like, it's going to be a problem, right? Your top rebounders from a year ago are gone. Luke Kornet, Al Horford, Jason Tatum is arguably the best rebounder at his position, and Kristaps Porzingis. Like, those guys aren't there. Like, to steal the line for Rick Pitino, they're not walking through the door.
No,
and so
not.
You're going to have issues with your rebounding, but there are some that you have to have, and I think that was one of them.
What do you think is going on with Derek White? I think he is the biggest issue overall on the team, and it's just because I had high expectations for him, right? Like, some of the other guys you're not expecting as much, and you're thinking with all the scoring that has left the team, he was going to step up and he'd be an obvious guy to be the number two option offensively. And then, you know, he's a good defensive player. I thought he might even make a run at an all-star team. He's been incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of two things. Like, both can be true. One, that he could be missing shots that he typically makes, and, you know, the tracking data wouldn't line up with that. But we've been talking about this for a while, that you look at the tracking data, it's more so just a point of reference where, like, how many of their shots are considered open. Like, you can't take that thing for what it's worth and look at it as, like, totals. Because the other night, the NBA had 50 of the 51 shots that they took were considered open to wide open. Watching the game, you know that was not the case, right? Like, there was a couple that were contested. So part of it is that he's missing shots that he usually makes. But other than that, too, I think it's just like he's adapting to a new role, and he struggled with that. And in the past, like, you've had guys that can space the floor, that can create open shots for him, that can screen for him. And it's a lot different now where he's creating a lot for himself. It's a lot off the dribble. It's not as much catch and shoot. And, you know, that's been a problem.
You know, real quick on White. So the season opener, he had 25 points. They lost that game, but he had 25 points, and you're like, all right, this is probably what he's going to be like. Like, they need people to score. After that, he went 15, 15, 11, 19, 15, 5, and 10. And just going to his playoff log from last year, it was way higher. And that was with Tatum for most of it, with Holiday, with Horford, with Porzingis, like all these guys that he was playing with. Yeah, and I just wonder if he's, you know, not cut out for being a number two or maybe even a number three. Like, I think he's a really useful player when he's like the fourth guy. Like, I don't know if he's even going to be able to like grow into that.
Yeah, I think that also, you know, there is some patience that's needed with that. Like, they've only played 8 games, and we talked about this, like the schedule that they faced going into this. Like, mm-hmm. 3 of the teams that they've played already had 50 wins last year. Mm-hmm. Four of them finished top 6 in the Eastern Conference or better last year.
One was the Jazz, though. Exactly.
And that was completely inexcusable. Like I said, like the biggest thing with that is the effort, and that cannot happen. But I think there is kind of a learning curve, and they're going through that. But eventually you need to see the results turn. Like, we're nearing the 10-game mark, right? Like, and I think that's a healthy enough sample size where it's like, okay, by now you should start to figure things out. And you did have the preseason as well. Like, those guys got run together. So it is still a work in progress, but, like, that's only an excuse for so much longer, right? At times, like, at some point, it has to change.
Terp with us here, Pure Hoops with Terp, every Wednesday at high noon. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Terp. And if you got Twitter questions, rather, dial us up, 617-779-7937. Or you can ask some questions on Twitter as well, at Jones and Keith. You said yesterday when we were talking about this off the air, Terp, they actually took a lot of open shots. 50 out of 51 threes, I think, were considered open.
That was the
open.
NBA tracking. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Which,
again, that's kind of a point of reference.
I'm not going to debate they're open. Fine, they're open threes. Are they taking good shots?
I think so. I think there have been some that, you know, haven't been great looks, but that's going to happen when you're taking 51 of them, right? Like, just the sheer volume of it, you're going to have some that aren't necessarily good looks. But for the most part, I think they have been decent looks. And the reality is, it's like, that's probably their best chance of scoring, right? When you look at guys like Anthony Simons, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Derek White, like, those guys are great three-point shooters. Even Jaylen Brown, before he went 0-for-9 the other night, was shooting a career high. I think he was making like 50% of his three-point shots. So it is part of their offense, obviously, and Joe Mazzulla's, you know, been very clear about that from day one, that it's, you know, it's creating the two-on-ones, creating the open shots, and if the open shot's there, you need to take it. And for the Celtics, oftentimes that comes from beyond the arc. So I think I don't necessarily have a problem with the shot diet and the, you know, the shots that they're taking. I think most of them have been good. But of course, when you're taking 51, like, or, you know, 50 of them aren't going to be open or wide open like the NBA tracking data stated. Like, again, that's a point of reference. So you look at that and be like, okay, majority of them are good looks, but, you know, of course there are some that, you know, aren't as great.
Yeah, because I just, you know, obviously there's like a pushback for like, oh, how many threes they take, and like that's been done to death, and there's going to be a million threes. That's sort of their style. But it made more sense the last few years to me because you had the personnel for it. You were winning, right? So it was easier to be like, well, yeah, we're shooting a million threes. We lose the occasional game, but it's working for us. But now, like, they have lineups where, you know, Kate is not shooting threes. So if when he's out there, right. Now you have, now at best, you have 4 guys that are shooting threes. You do have guys like White and Pritchard who right now can't throw it in, and hopefully you know, that'll change around. But I wonder if it seems like Mazzulla is kind of coaching it the same regardless of the roster, even though the roster is not nearly as good as it was.
I think it's different. I think people are looking at the three-point volume because it's always been the number one pointer.
Yeah. Well, like, at least the league again. Been, you know?
You're right, because again,
they're shooting second worst percentage.
They shoot the second worst percentage. They are attempting the most threes, which threes are a part of the modern NBA.
Obviously.
But you don't have to lead the league and, you know, set records like they did a year. Like, they don't have to be that skewed that way.
I thought they would be lower this year, and it was because Jaylen Brown's going to be your leading scorer, and I think the best Jaylen Brown games, he takes way more twos than threes. And I'm like, all right, when Tatum's scoring close to 30 points a game, if he ends up taking 8 to 10 threes, I get it. It's like part of his game, part of the flow, also sets up guys more. I thought maybe they wouldn't. So I'm a little bit and then you throw in Kata compared to Porzingis or Horford. Like, I thought we might go away from it a little bit, but they really have not. Yeah,
especially
at all.
Without a true, like you said, a true stretch five.
Right.
Like, you
right.
don't have Al Horford in the corner anymore. You don't have Kristaps Porzingis. Luke Kornet wasn't obviously a three-point shooter. Well, he was before he got to the Celtics.
Oddly enough.
He ditched that when he got here.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
But with him, though, his screening. Like, he's one of the best screeners in the game. And I think screening is something that's very overlooked in the NBA. Like, it's almost like an offensive line, right? Like, when the offensive line's going great and things are going well, you're not talking about it. And same thing with the screening. And you're starting to see that now because I think the screening has factored into some of the shots they've taken. Like, it's just not as good as it has been in the past. So I think that plays into it. But the reality is like, the roster just has flaws. And on some nights, they're going to be able to make up for it with their shooting. And others, they're not. But, like, when you're shooting 20% from three or whatever it is, it's going to be tough to overcome that.
And some of the roster flaws aren't their fault, Tatum getting hurt. But
right.
a lot of them are. Like, a lot of that was a conscious decision by the new ownership group, which I think should frustrate Celtics fans. Why was Jaylen so, speaking of being frustrated, why was he so frustrated the other night? Was it just about that call, or is there a bigger level of frustration going on with him?
It was about the call, and rightfully so. Like, they missed that call. Now, granted, and I always like to remind this, like, when you're talking about a call at the end of the game, there are so many things that went wrong that led to that. Like, you can never point to just the final game. They're 10-point favorites. Like, that, you can't just blame the call. But that is a big call in a big spot, and it did end up costing them the game in some sense. So I get his frustration, and he ended up proving right. Like, I don't know why the NBA does this, but they still do the last 2-minute report.
I don't know if it
helps
them.
Like, they admit that they missed the call, but, like, great, what does it do? Like, you
so at the very
call.
Least,
everyone saw
it's some accountability. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
At the very least, they should. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's been fined yet.
Not yet.
But he should get his fine taken away. If they're like, he was complaining about a call that was proven to be wrong, then they should take it away.
Accountability's great, but like it's not like
really
the referees
do?
Don't get fined. They don't get suspended.
No, they'll be
like,
back
nothing
out
actually
there.
Happens. Like, okay, we missed it. Like, sure. Like,
no other league even does that.
No. I mean, yeah, I guess it is nice to have that affirmation, but, like, everyone saw it in the moment. Like, he was totally tripped. And, you know, he was frustrated.
See, I didn't really
that.
See it.
Look, the last 2-minute report said they got it wrong, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
I didn't. Because
he got in the way, but I thought he was slipping ahead of time. But whatever. Like, they even had the lead after that. You know, like, it wasn't like that was, like, the last play of the game.
Utah also missed the shot and grabbed an offensive rebound and put it back.
Right.
Like, you know, everyone's going to get tied up with the call. Again, there's so much more that went into that.
You don't think there's more going on with it? Like, Jaylen felt he was disrespected, like, he didn't get a superstar call. Or even, you said, you think he was the only one giving effort, nobody else was. Like, you don't think that level of frustration was about anything else?
I think he was frustrated with the loss. Like, I think everyone was frustrated with the loss. And Jaylen did mention in the question after, he's like, we cannot have teams on the second night of a back-to-back coming in and just doing whatever they want and beating us on our home floor like that. And it was a frustrating loss. So, yeah, I think there was more to it, but I think most of it stemmed from the call rather than, like, you know, an issue with the teammates or whatever. You know what I mean?
Where are you at on the the big man rotation? You know, I think last time we talked to you, Kata and mine.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Not, we're like trending up a little bit more so. We've seen Garza in there a little bit. Tillman's still getting a little bit of run. Who do you think is kind of emerging from that group?
For the most part, Cato's been good. Yeah. He's been solid. He's impressed me a little bit. Obviously, like, you know, he's had his moments in the past, even when he was the third center on this team, or even the fourth center. Yeah. Like, he had his moments, and he won them games. But I think he's done a great job so far. Obviously, like, there has been moments it's like, okay, like, you can't have that, like the offensive rebound late in the game the other day. Like, you can't have that kind of stuff. But all in all, he's been good. Josh Minot's another one where, you know, he's
a lawnmower.
He's been in the starting lineup for good reason because he brings that energy and that edge that they need to play with. I think he does a good job of setting the tone. Like, him and Jalen both play with that edge, play with that like that fire, that competitive spirit. Like, that's what they need. You know, they need to punch above their weight class in most nights, and that's how you do it.
You mentioned numerous times in the offseason, like, wait till after the first 7 games, bet the Celtics over, then they lose game number 8 against the Jazz. Should they tank right now, Terp, yes or no?
I'm going to take a similar approach to Keith with the Bruins here, and I would say give it a little bit longer because the schedule does open. They played 8 games,
okay,
right? And there's 8 new faces.
But fine. So your answer right now is table it for now.
Yes, you played 8 games.
Don't tank yet. At what point do we look at it if they're still struggling and you say it might be time to really consider
I think
that?
Probably right around like the Christmas mark. I think that's where you can look at. Because if you look at their schedule coming up, there's a lot of winnable games and games that they should
including tonight,
be able to
Washington
have,
including tonight. They stink.
Orlando struggled. Yep, they go the back-to-back with
Orlando's
Orlando.
Orlando's been bad.
They've been bad.
I watched a good chunk of that Hawks game last night, Bragg. They look bad.
Was that the game? Oh, yeah, Bane got tossed, right? Yes. Chucked the ball at somebody.
That was bad. If you could just like go through their schedule, like they already beat Philadelphia once. It went down to the wire the first game. They get Memphis, and they're a mess.
Dude, what's going to happen with John Morant?
I mean, it's getting to a point where you have to trade him.
They have to, but like, he's like, still a really good player, but now you see a lot of guys calling him out left and right. So like Perk did, but Perk did it in the way that he got everybody pissed off. But like Blake Griffin was like straight up calling him out. That seems like a mess.
They
can't keep him there, but he's super talented. So I wonder what you would get and like what kind of team would bring him in with the money that he's making.
Oh, some team will bring him in. Yeah. Like, he's an All-NBA player when he's healthy.
But
like some team will go out.
But like if it doesn't work, you'd be like, well, are there any signs? Were there any signs it wasn't going to work with him? Like, oh, I didn't see
it.
It feels like it's pretty apparent that his future is not in Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to be dealt out at some point.
Maybe send him to Philly for like a beat or something. Like,
would they want to mix that up with their front
scenery?
Court or with their backcourt?
No, that's true.
Like,
those guys are playing well.
Maxie. Like, Maxie's playing at, like, MVP level right now.
And
obviously, it's only been 8 games, but you know, he's been phenomenal.
Do you, speaking of the way teams are starting, Oklahoma City's 8-0. They beat, who'd they beat last night? The Clippers, I'm sorry. So they're 8-0.
Yeah, that was the 11 o'clock game.
Oh, that was last night. You were talking about this yesterday. Oh, I thought that was coming up later this week.
I think it was last night. They started at like 11:10 Eastern time.
Okay, so OKC is the only undefeated team. They're
8-0. Without Jalen Williams.
Good point. So last year, Missoula's like, well, what? You expect we were going to be better than we were the year before? And we're like,
we did
actually expect that. We thought you would defend your title and we thought you'd win more regular season games and you didn't. So yeah, that's what we expected. Is Oklahoma City, are they going to make last year's Celtics look even worse? Like the way they're starting, the way they're playing, the way that they're ready to go, the pace they're on, maybe they defend their title. Are they going to make the Celtics look even worse for not playing well in the regular season and repeating?
I mean, right now they're on pace to go 82-0. So they look strong right now. But I mean, again, it's so early in the season, it's tough to kind of look at that right now. I mean, definitely they could. I mean, what they've done is incredible. This is their first 8-0 start in franchise history, I believe.
Well, they would have to, they would have to obviously win the title.
They'd
so we're a ways away because I think if they win the if they fall short, even if they have an awesome regular season, because like the Warriors, one of their years that they.
Let's just start with the regular season, though. Even if they win more games than they won a year ago, they won 68 last year.
Yeah, if they win 70 games.
I don't take back expecting the Celtics to win more regular season games last year than they did 2 years ago.
Three fewer. Yeah.
I think Oklahoma City could do that. But there has been this like ongoing conversation about teams not repeating, and now it's become like a thing in the NBA. We're like, well, now it's actually, it used to be like common to repeat. Now it's super tough to repeat, right? Like, nobody's repeating. I feel like there's a lot of ways to excuse it away, or not excuse it away, but explain it with, like, certain teams and why they didn't. So if Oklahoma City does, then that would make the Celtics look worse, because you're like, well, the Celtics were primed. They were lined up for it. This wasn't a bubble season. This wasn't Kawhi Leonard there. This wasn't, like, a few different things. And if Oklahoma City wins it back-to-back right after you did, then, yeah, that's
fairness,
pretty telling.
I'm looking at the Celtics started 7-1, then they lost their ninth game, 7-2. They were 9-3. They started 16-3. So they started, better than I remembered, I guess.
They also haven't necessarily had a murderer's row here to start Oklahoma City. They got, you know, the Hawks, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Wizards, the Pelicans. Like, not necessarily great. Yeah. The first two games of the season with the Rockets and the Pacers. Back-to-back double overtime games. So I think that was
Rockets, and we saw what the Rockets did to this team.
But I'm just saying, like, you saw back-to-back double overtime games to begin the year. Like, we heard all last year about, you know, even the Celtics talking about it, every night you're getting a team's best, and they're, you know, punching above their weight in a lot of cases.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I know he's not the most fun player to watch, but he's playing like the MVP again.
He's led them in scoring in, like, seven of their eight games.
Yeah, he's insane.
It's incredible.
Okay. Pure Hoops every Wednesday at high noon with Turp. Check him out at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Follow all his work at WEEI. Turp, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Turp.
617-779-7937. I see you guys hanging out on the phones. Red Sox conversation, Patriots conversation. We'll get back to the Pats, what they did not do at yesterday's trade deadline. Plus, we also have an all-time rant, perhaps.
I'll be the judge.
Let's throw his hat into the ring for Bill O'Brien later on this hour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.